Listening Library presents Magic Treehouse number 27, Thanksgiving on Thursday, by Mary Pope Osborne, read by the author.
Thanksgiving on Thursday. Chapter 1. What Feast?
"Come on," said Annie. She stood in the doorway to Jack's bedroom. "Let's check the woods."
"But it's Thursday," said Jack. "We're going to Grandmother soon."
"I know," said Annie, "but I have a feeling the treehouse might be back. I think Morgan might have sent us a new rhyme."
Jack trusted Annie's feelings. "Okay, but we'll have to be quick," he said. He threw his notebook and pencil into his backpack. He followed her downstairs. "Be back soon," Jack called to their parents. "Very soon," their dad said.
"Don't forget, it's Thursday," said their mom. "We're leaving for Grandmother's at 9.
"I know," said Jack.
"We'll be back in 10 minutes, said Annie.
They hurried out of their house. They ran across their yard and up their street and into the Frog Creek woods. Jack and Annie ran through light and shadow until they stopped under the tallest oak.
"Yay," said Annie.
"You are right," said Jack.
High in the tree was the magic treehouse. Jack grabbed the rope ladder and started up. Annie was right behind him. They climbed into the treehouse. Sunlight slanted in through the window.
"Good, our gifts from our last trips are still here," said Annie.
She pointed to the scrolls from Shakespeare's theater and the twig from the gorillas.
"Proof we found the magic of the theater and the magic of animals," said Jack.
"Look," said Annie.
She pointed to a book lying in a dark corner. A piece of paper was sticking out of it. Jack pulled out the paper.
"It's from Morgan," he said.
He read,
"Dear Jack and Annie, good luck on your third journey to find a special magic. This rhyme will guide you. To find a special magic, when work and toil are done, gather all together, turn three worlds into one. Thank you, Morgan."
"So who do we gather with?" wondered Jack.
Annie held up the book. The painting on the cover showed a basket of corn on a wooden table. The title said, "A Feast to Remember."
"We gather at a feast," she said.
She pointed to the cover.
"I wish we could go there."
"Hold on," said Jack. "What kind of feast? Where and when?"
But the wind had started to blow. The treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster. Then everything was still. Absolutely still. Chapter 2.
Shh.
Jack opened his eyes. Bright golden sunlight poured into the treehouse. The air felt crisp and cool. Annie was wearing a long dress, a white cap, and an apron. Jack wore a jacket with a frilly collar. He wore short pants, long socks, leather shoes, and a hat. His backpack was now a leather bag.
"I like your hat," said Annie. "It's funny."
"Yours too," said Jack.
"You look like a pilgrim," said Annie.
"So do you," said Jack.
"Oh, man, I bet we're in the time of the pilgrims."
He and Annie scrambled to the window. The treehouse had landed in a tall oak near the edge of a forest. Red and yellow leaves rattled in the cool breeze. Past the forest was a small village, and past the village was the ocean.
"It looks like where the pilgrims lived," said Jack. "We studied it in school."
He opened the research book and found a picture of the village by the sea. He read aloud.
"In 1620, a group of 102 passengers sailed from England to America on a ship called the Mayflower. Many of the people on board wanted freedom of religion. They wanted to worship God in their own way, not the way the King of England made them. Others wanted to find a new life in a new land. Today we call all the people who sailed in the Mayflower pilgrims."
"Yes," said Annie.
Jack read on.
"The pilgrims wanted to settle near New York, but a storm blew their ship north. They landed in a bay on the coast of what is now Massachusetts. 6 years before, Captain John Smith had explored the coast. He had named the bay Plymouth."
"Plymouth,"
said Annie.
"That's where the first Thanksgiving was."
"Oh, man, Jack smiled. So that's the feast.
Wow, said Annie. My class put on a play about the first Thanksgiving.
Mine too, said Jack.
I played Priscilla, said Annie.
I played a turkey, said Jack.
Now we'll get to meet the real Priscilla, said Annie. And Squanto, and Governor Bradford, and Miles Standish. Come on.
She started down the ladder. Wait, what will we say? Asked Jack.
We'll just tell them hi and stuff, said Annie.
Are you nuts? Said Jack. He put the book into his bag. They won't understand who we are. We need a plan. He slung the bag over his shoulder and hurried down the ladder after Annie. Listen, we need... Jack started.
I know, a plan, said Annie. But first let's get closer to the village and just watch.
Okay, said Jack. But we can't let anyone see us. We have to be careful and quiet. He and Annie started walking carefully through the woods, but they did not walk quietly. The autumn leaves crunched and crackled under their leather shoes.
Shh, said Jack. I can't help it, said Annie. You're doing it too.
Then we have to stop, said Jack. Let's get behind that tree and watch from there. They crunched over to a tree at the edge of the woods. In the distance was a row of small log houses with steep thatched roofs. Jack pulled out the book. He found the part about the village. Then he pushed his glasses up and read to himself. The pilgrims brought chickens, geese, goats, and sheep from England. They brought seeds to plant, and they knew how to make traps to catch wild animals for food. But they could not have survived without the help of a Wampanoag Indian named Squanto. Squanto taught them how to grow corn.
Hi, you,
Annie whispered. Jack looked up. Annie was talking to a skinny yellow dog. The dog was sniffing a tree near them.
Don't let him see us, Jack whispered. Why?
Said Annie. The dog looked at them and barked.
That's why, said Jack.
The skinny dog barked again and again. Two pilgrim men ran from the other side of the houses. Then more pilgrims appeared. They all looked in the direction of the barking dog.
Oh, no, said Jack. Let's go back. We don't have a plan yet.
He packed up his book and started away from the tree. Suddenly, something tightened around his ankle. A tree branch snapped.
Ah!
Jack shouted as he was jerked up into the air. Chapter 3. Wow!
Jack! Cried Annie.
The skinny dog barked and jumped around happily. Jack was hanging a few feet off the ground with a rope around his ankle. His glasses and hat and bag had fallen to the ground. Jack felt the blood rushing to his head.
I must have stepped into a hunting trap,
he said in a strangled voice.
I'll free you,
Annie said. She tried to reach the rope, but it was too high. Jack heard voices over the wild barking of the dog. A blur of people gathered around him and Annie.
Oh, mercy, a woman cried.
We have caught a boy, a man said.
The dog licked Jack's face.
Help, said Jack.
A burly man shooed the dog away, then grabbed Jack. Another cut the rope with a knife. Then they gently lowered Jack to the ground. Jack sat in the leaves, feeling dizzy. He took the rope off his foot and rubbed his ankle.
Here,
said Annie, handing Jack his glasses, hat, and bag. He put them all on and stood up. Now he could see. About 40 or 50 pilgrims, men, women, and lots of children, stared at him and Annie. Some of the children were laughing. The girls were dressed just like the women. The boys were dressed just like the men. One person, though, looked different from everyone else in the crowd. His skin was brown. A deer skin hung over his shoulder. His black hair was braided and had a feather in it.
Is that Squanto?
Jack wondered. The Wampanoag Indian who helped out the pilgrims? Two pilgrim men stepped forward. One had a smile on his face. The other was frowning.
Good day, the friendly-looking man said. Who art thou?
I'm Annie, said Annie. This is my brother Jack. We come in peace.
Welcome to Plymouth Colony, said the man. I am Governor Bradford. This is Captain Standish.
Captain Standish kept frowning. He carried a long gun over his shoulder.
Oh, wow, said Annie.
Wow, said Captain Standish.
Wow,
whispered others as if they didn't understand.
I've just heard a lot about you, said Annie.
She looked around.
Is Priscilla here?
Shh, whispered Jack.
I am Priscilla, said a young woman. She looked about 17 or 18. Her face looked weary, and her eyes were sad.
Hi, said Annie shyly. I was you.
Annie, warned Jack.
That was me?
Priscilla asked. She sounded puzzled.
Never mind my sister, said Jack. She's nuts.
Nuts? Repeated Priscilla.
Nuts?
Whispered others.
Oh, brother, said Jack with a nervous laugh.
Oh, brother? Repeated Priscilla.
Annie giggled. Never mind, said Jack. That's just how we say things at home.
And where is thy home?
Captain Standish asked. He didn't sound as friendly as Governor Bradford or Priscilla.
We live in a village up north, said Jack. Our parents sent us here to,
he remembered something from their research book,
to learn how to grow corn.
But how and when did your family come to America?
The captain asked. Jack was worried. Now that he had started making up a story, he couldn't back out. Luckily, he remembered something else from their book.
We sailed to America with Captain John Smith, he said, when he was exploring the coast. Annie and I were babies then.
Ah, indeed, said Governor Bradford.
Jack nodded. Indeed, he said.
I believe Squanto knew Captain John Smith when he was in Plymouth, said Captain Standish. Perhaps he remembers thee.
Everyone in the crowd turned to the man with the braid.
Oh, no, thought Jack. He knew Squanto wouldn't remember them.
These children say they sailed with Captain John Smith, Governor Bradford said to Squanto. Dost thou remember two wee babes named Jack and Annie?
Squanto moved closer to Jack and Annie. He looked carefully at their faces. Jack held his breath. His heart pounded. Squanto turned to the governor.
Yes, he said quietly. I remember.
Chapter 4. We Fish. Annie grinned.
Good day, Squanto, she said.
Good day, Annie, said Squanto.
He smiled at her and Jack.
Jack was too surprised to speak. Why did Squanto say he remembers us? He wondered. Is he mistaking us for two other kids?
Captain Standish looked surprised, too, but Governor Bradford smiled warmly.
"'Tis a wonder,' he said. "'We welcome all the small folk sent to us. Children are a gift from God, no matter where they come from.'
"'That's a nice way of looking at things,' Jack thought.
Just then a boy ran up.
"'Chief Massasoit is here with 90 men,' he shouted.
The boy pointed to a long line of men walking down a path near a cornfield. Chief Massasoit walked ahead of the others. His face was painted red. He wore a fur robe and white beads. Governor Bradford, Captain Standish, and Squanto went to meet the visitors.
Mercy,
a pilgrim woman whispered. All the pilgrims looked worried.
Art thou afraid? Annie asked.
Oh, no, said Priscilla.
We invited Chief Massasoit and his men to our harvest feast.
But we did not expect so many. We have not prepared enough food.
Governor Bradford and Squanto spoke to the chief. Then Squanto led a number of men into the woods, and the governor walked back to the pilgrims.
The Wampanoag men will hunt more deer, he said.
But we must also bring more food to the table. Priscilla, please tell the young folk what they must do.
The grown-ups went back to the village as the pilgrim kids gathered around Priscilla. She told some to carry water or set up tables. She told others to gather vegetables or hunt small animals. Once the kids were given their jobs, they rushed off to do them. Finally, only Jack, Annie, and a small girl holding a big basket were left.
Jack, would thou like to go fowling with the boys? Priscilla asked him.
She pointed to a group of boys who had just headed off with the dog. Jack stared at her in panic. What does she mean? He wondered.
What's fowling? Annie asked. Thou dost not know, said the little girl. Just hunting water birds, of course.
Jack doesn't know how to do that, said Annie.
'Tis true. How dost thou eat and live? The little girl asked curiously.
Jack froze.
We catch fish, said Annie.
We do, thought Jack.
Ah, good, said Priscilla. Then I bid thee bring back as many eels and clams as thou can. We have near 150 mouths to feed.
Priscilla took the basket from the small girl and gave it to Annie.
We will see thee later, Priscilla said, waving. Mary and I must go help with the cooking.
Said Jack. But before he could ask any questions, Priscilla and the little girl started back to the village. Chapter 5. Eels and Clams. Jack looked at Annie.
We can't stay here, he said.
What? She said. We can't go home now. The pilgrims need us to help them.
But we don't know how to do anything, Jack said. And Squanto is going to figure out he doesn't really know us, and...
Don't worry so much, said Annie. We help Mom and Dad make our Thanksgiving dinner every year, don't we? We can help the pilgrims, but we better hurry.
Clutching the big basket, she started running toward the bay. Jack sighed, then ran after her. At the rocky shore, they stopped and looked around. Little waves rolled onto the short stretch of sand. The salty air felt clean and fresh. Seagulls swooped over the water.
I wonder where the eels are, said Annie, and the clams.
I'll look in the book, said Jack.
He pulled out their book and looked up eels in the index. He turned to the right page and read aloud.
Squanto showed the pilgrims a way to catch eels. He showed them how to push the eels out of the wet sand with their bare feet, then grab them with their hands.
That sounds fun, said Annie.
She put down her basket and pulled off her shoes and stockings. She held up her long skirt with one hand. Then she walked over the rocks to the edge of the water. Jack put the research book into his bag. He pulled off his shoes and stockings and joined Annie. They dug their bare feet into the wet sand.
I don't feel anything, said Jack.
Let's wade into the water, said Annie.
Together they stepped forward.
Brr, said Annie.
No kidding, said Jack with a shiver. He kept squishing the muddy sand with his toes. He felt pebbles and shells, then he felt something soft.
Hey, I think I found one, he said.
Annie splashed over to him.
Where?
Stand back, he said. Here.
Jack squished harder with his feet. The soft thing moved. Jack squished more. An eel slithered through the water. Jack grabbed it with both hands.
Ah!
He yelled. The eel was long and skinny like a snake. It felt slimy and icky. It twisted and squirmed. Annie laughed as Jack tried to hold on to it. The eel wiggled out of Jack's hands and fell against Annie.
Yikes!
She yelled, jumping away and bumping into Jack. With more screams, they both tumbled into the cold water. They scrambled up and splashed back to shore. Annie was still laughing.
Poor eel, she said, trying to catch her breath. We scared him half to death.
Him, said Jack.
Forget eels, said Annie, her teeth chattering. What about clams?
Jack was wet and cold, but he took out the book again and looked up clams. He turned to the right page and read aloud.
Squanto taught the pilgrims how to dig for quahog clams. Quahog clams are hard-shell clams. They can live for 60 years or more. The oldest have been known to live for almost 100 years.
Oh, forget it, Annie broke in.
What? Said Jack.
We can't catch them, she said. They live to be so old. We can't just end their lives.
Jack sighed. He sat down on a rock. Annie sat next to him. Their clothes were soaking wet. Their feet were caked with muddy sand. Their basket was empty.
What other things do pilgrim kids do to help? Said Annie.
Jack opened the book again. He looked up pilgrim children. He read aloud.
Pilgrim children worked very hard. They built fences and cared for animals. They planted, harvested, and ground corn. They picked pumpkins, peas, and beans. They guarded the fields. They fished and hunted. They carried water. They collected nuts. They cooked and cleaned. They did everything they were told. They never complained about being tired.
Oh, man, I feel tired just reading this, said Jack, closing the book. We make lousy pilgrim children.
Yeah, I know, said Annie. Maybe we could do something like keep an eye on the turkey and tell them when it's ready. That's how I help Mom every year.
Annie, Thanksgiving in Frog Creek is a whole different story from Thanksgiving with the pilgrims, said Jack.
Annie, Jack, a voice called.
Jack quickly put away their book, then they turned around. Priscilla was standing on a rock. She held a pumpkin and carried a basket filled with yellow squash and red corn.
I was looking for you, she said.
Chapter 6. Good Work.
Good day, Priscilla, said Annie.
Good day, said Priscilla. She walked to them.
Did thou fill the basket with eels and clams?
Not really, said Jack.
The eel didn't want to get caught, said Annie. And the clams lived to be so old, we didn't think it was right to take their lives.
Priscilla laughed. Her sad eyes sparkled.
What strange children, she said. But you both look wet and cold. Would you like to come to my house and warm up by the fire?
Yes, said Jack and Annie. They washed off their feet and pulled on their shoes and stockings. Jack picked up his bag. Annie picked up their empty basket.
Would thou like to put some of my corn and squash in thy basket? Said Priscilla.
Oh, thanks, said Annie. She took some corn and squash from Priscilla's basket.
And perhaps thou would like to carry the pumpkin? Priscilla said to Jack.
Sure, said Jack.
Sure, said Priscilla.
I mean, indeed, said Jack. He felt relieved. Now they wouldn't have to go back empty-handed. Jack wrapped his arms around the heavy pumpkin. Annie carried the basket. They followed Priscilla back to the village. The pilgrims and Wampanoag were gathering in a wide dirt street. Women were baking bread in an outdoor oven. Some boys were setting wooden planks on barrels to make tables. Mary, the little girl, was carrying a bucket of water. Squanto sat smoking a pipe with Chief Massasoit, Governor Bradford, and Captain Standish. Jack hoped Mary wouldn't ask him about the clams and eels. He hoped Squanto wouldn't ask him about Captain John Smith. He hoped the governor and the captain wouldn't ask him about home. Jack hid his face behind the fat pumpkin. Priscilla opened the door to a small house. Then she led Jack and Annie into a dark, smoky room. The only light came from one window and a fire.
Sit by the hearth, said Priscilla, so your clothes can dry.
Where's the hearth? Annie asked, looking around. Priscilla laughed again, shaking her head.
There, where the fire lies, she said.
Jack put down the pumpkin and his bag. Annie put down her basket. The hearth was so large, Jack could have stood in it. He and Annie got as close as they could to the warm, crackling fire. Several pots hung over the fire. Near the pots, a turkey was roasting on an iron rod.
The Thanksgiving turkey, whispered Annie. Cool, said Jack. The very first Thanksgiving turkey, he thought.
Would thou please stir the corn pudding whilst thou art drying? Asked Priscilla. She pointed to one of the pots.
Indeed, said Jack.
Priscilla took a wooden spoon out of a jug of water near the hearth. She gave it to Jack. He put it into the thick, bubbly pudding and stirred.
I must gather nuts, said Priscilla.
Whilst I am gone, move the roots close to the ashes and stir herbs into the seafood chowder.
Indeed, said Annie.
After Priscilla left, Annie looked at Jack.
What are roots and herbs? She asked.
Look in the book, said Jack. Annie took the research book from Jack's bag. She looked up roots and read aloud.
The pilgrims called certain vegetables roots. These vegetables, such as carrots and turnips, grow under the ground.
Ah, said Jack. He picked up some carrots and turnips near the hearth and moved them close to the hot ashes. Next, Annie looked up herbs. She read aloud.
The pilgrims called leafy vegetables that grow above the ground herbs. They made salads with herbs. They used dried herbs to flavor soups and seafood chowders.
Jack saw some dried plants hanging from the rafters.
Those must be the herbs, he said.
Annie broke off a leaf and sniffed it.
That smells good, she said.
She leaned close to one of the pots.
And that must be the seafood chowder. It smells like the ocean.
She crumbled the leaf into the chowder. She took another spoon from the jug of water. She and Jack both stirred pots.
Good work, Priscilla said as she stepped back into the room.
Jack smiled. The fire had made him hot and sweaty. The smoke burned his eyes, but he didn't mind. Finally, he felt useful. Priscilla put some walnuts close to the fire.
Squanto taught us which nuts are good to eat, she said.
Squanto taught thee a lot, said Annie.
He saved our lives, Priscilla said quietly. Last winter we were cold and hungry. Half our people died.
Annie gasped.
How? She said.
Sickness, said Priscilla. Fever took my mother, my father, and my brother.
Her eyes were bright with tears. No one spoke. The sound of the crackling fire filled the room. Then Annie put her arm around Priscilla.
We're so sorry, said Annie.
Yes, we are, said Jack.
Thank you, Priscilla said with a sad smile. 'Twas a terrible winter, but we never gave up hope, and now God be praised we have had a good harvest, and we have peace with our neighbors.
In the glow of the firelight, Priscilla was beautiful, Jack thought. Not only was she kind, but she was incredibly brave as well.
Come, she said. She wiped her eyes and stood up. Something special is about to take place. Would thou like to watch?
Sure, I mean indeed, said Annie.
She and Jack jumped up and followed Priscilla outside.
Chapter 7. Arm Exercises.
Priscilla led Jack and Annie away from the village toward a large field. The pilgrims and Wampanoag men had already gathered there. Jack could hear the beat of a drum, but he couldn't see what was going on.
Make haste or we will miss it, said Priscilla.
Miss what? Asked Annie.
Captain Standish is about to lead the men and boys, said Priscilla. They will exercise their arms.
Why do they exercise their arms? Jack wondered.
Will they expect me to join in?
As he hurried after Priscilla toward the crowd, Jack practiced. He stretched his arms out wide. He made circles in the air. Then he flapped his arms up and down. Priscilla caught sight of him.
What art thou doing, Jack? She asked.
Exercising my arms, he said.
Priscilla smiled. Then she started to laugh. She laughed and laughed. So did Jack, but he wasn't sure why. A loud bang came from the field. Jack jumped. He stopped laughing. A puff of smoke rose into the air. As the crowd parted, Jack saw the pilgrim men and boys proudly holding up their long guns.
What just happened? Said Annie.
The men fired their muskets, said Priscilla. On special occasions, they like to show off their arms.
Oh, thought Jack. Now I get it. The long guns are muskets, which are also called arms. So exercising arms means firing muskets.
Jack blushed. Priscilla must think I'm an idiot, he thought.
But she just smiled at him fondly.
I thank thee for making me laugh, Jack, she said. I have not laughed hard in a long time.
Jack shrugged as if he had meant to make her laugh.
It is time now to serve our feast, said Priscilla. I must help with the bread.
What can we do? Asked Jack.
Return to my home, said Priscilla. Take the turkey off the spit, put it on a platter, and bring it to a table.
Oh, great! We get to help with the turkey, said Annie. I always help with the turkey at home.
Good, said Priscilla. May thou feel my home is thy home today.
Jack was excited, too. He and Annie were about to serve the first turkey at the first Thanksgiving. They ran back to the smoky house and rushed inside.
Where's the platter? Said Jack, looking around. He saw a flat wooden block. That must be it.
Annie picked up the wooden platter.
How do we get the turkey on it? She asked.
They moved close to the fire and stared at the turkey roasting on the iron rod.
That must be the spit, said Jack.
The spit sat on iron legs. It had a handle.
Jack pushed his glasses into place. I'll lift the spit, he said. Then we'll push the turkey onto the platter.
Be careful, said Annie.
Jack reached out and wrapped his fingers around the handle of the iron spit.
Ow!
He shouted. The handle was super hot. He yanked his hand away and knocked the spit off its legs. The turkey fell into the fire. The grease from the turkey sputtered and popped. The turkey burst into flame. The fire roared.
Ah!
Yelped Jack and Annie together. They jumped back from the hearth. Jack grabbed the water pot on the floor. He threw the water into the fire. The fire sizzled and smoke billowed up. When the smoke cleared, the fire was out. But the turkey was completely black. Chapter 8. The Feast. Jack buried his face in his hands.
I don't believe it, he said. I just burned up the pilgrim's turkey.
Stay calm, said Annie. I'll get Priscilla.
No, don't tell Priscilla, moaned Jack.
We have to tell Priscilla, said Annie. She hurried out of the house.
Jack lifted his head and stared at the burned turkey.
Oh, man, he whispered unhappily.
The pilgrims had worked so hard to get their food. They had had such a terrible winter, especially Priscilla, and now he had ruined their first Thanksgiving. The door opened. Annie pulled Priscilla over to the hearth.
See, said Annie. The turkey fell into the fire. It burned up.
I did it, Jack confessed.
Priscilla just stared at the burned turkey in the wet, messy hearth. Then she looked at Jack. He looked away from her.
Ah, Jack, Priscilla said softly. Thou look sad.
He nodded.
I ruined everything, he mumbled.
No, thou did not, said Priscilla.
She reached out her hand.
Come.
Priscilla led Jack and Annie out into the bright autumn light.
Look,
she said. Jack saw pilgrim women and kids walking to the tables. They all carried wooden platters piled with food.
In the other houses, there was cooking also, said Priscilla.
Jack saw roasted ducks, turkeys, and deer meat. He saw baked fish, lobsters, eels, clams, and oysters. He saw pumpkins, beans, and corn, dried plums, berries, and roasted nuts, steamy pots of soups and puddings, and loaves of baked breads.
We had a very good harvest this fall,
said Priscilla. We stored many vegetables. We salted our fish and cured our meat, and today our Wampanoag neighbors brought back 5 deer from the forest for our feast. Jack was relieved to see all the food. Priscilla knelt down and looked him in the eye.
See, thou did not ruin anything, Jack, she said. Thou and Annie have helped me a lot this day. You have both made me laugh, and you have both acted with kind hearts.
Jack was amazed. He thought he'd been no help at all.
Come, said Priscilla. Let us join the others. Art thou hungry?
Jack nodded. Seeing all the platters of food had made him really hungry. He and Annie followed Priscilla. In the golden glow of autumn light, Jack and Annie joined the pilgrims and the Wampanoag at the long tables. Priscilla gave Jack and Annie wooden plates. She gave them big white cloth napkins. Then she served them plenty of food. Before they started to eat, Governor Bradford stood up to speak.
Those of us who came here on the Mayflower did not know how to live in this land, he said. But Squanto came to help us, and today we give thanks for him and for the peace we share with his people and for all our great blessings.
Governor Bradford looked at Jack and Annie.
Welcome to our feast, he said. At this moment, 3 worlds, your world, our world, and the world of the Wampanoag, are not 3. They are 1. 'Tis the magic of community.
Indeed, said Annie.
She clapped her hands and looked at Jack.
We did it,
she whispered.
Did what?
Thought Jack. Governor Bradford then put his napkin over his shoulder.
Now, he said, let us feast till our bellies are filled.
As everyone started to eat, Annie leaned close to Jack.
We found the special magic, she whispered. The magic of community. Remember the rhyme?
She repeated Morgan's words.
To find a special magic, when work and toil are done, gather all together, turn 3 worlds into 1.
Oh, man, said Jack.
He'd forgotten all about it.
We can go home now, said Annie.
No way, said Jack. We have to eat first.
Jack and Annie used their fingers to pick up their food, and they ate and ate and ate.
Jack tried everything on his plate, except a little bit of eel and two clams. Everything he did eat, he liked, even the turnips. Food really tastes good, he thought as he chewed, when you eat it outside on a beautiful day with lots of nice people. Chapter 9. Good Day. Slowly the feast came to an end. The guests wiped their plates with their last bits of bread. Then they wiped their hands and faces with their napkins. Jack and Annie stood up.
"We have to go home," Annie said to Priscilla.
"Ah, thou must go back to thine own community now," said Priscilla. Annie nodded, then she kissed Priscilla on the cheek.
"Thanks for everything," Annie said.
Jack wanted to kiss Priscilla too, but he was too shy.
"Thanks, Priscilla," he said.
"I thank thee, Jack," she said. Then she leaned over and kissed his cheek. Jack felt his face grow red.
"Excuse me, sir," Annie said to Governor Bradford, "but we must leave now." "Oh, but we have not yet taught thee how to grow corn," said the little girl Mary.
Squanto stood up. "Come," he said. "I will walk Jack and Annie back to the forest. I will teach them."
"Oh, thou dost not have to do that," Jack said quickly. He feared that once they were alone, Squanto would figure out they'd never met before. But Squanto only smiled and waited for them to follow.
"Bye, everyone," said Annie, waving.
Jack waved too. All the pilgrims and Wampanoag waved back at them. The skinny dog barked. Squanto led Jack and Annie away from the village toward the autumn woods. As they passed the cornfield, the dried stalks swayed in the breeze. They made shushing sounds. Squanto stopped walking. He pointed to the field.
"You must plant corn in the spring," he said. "Put the seed in the ground when the oak tree bud is as small as a mouse's ear."
"Oh, wait, please," said Jack. He slipped his notebook and pencil out of his bag. It was the first time he'd had a chance to take notes all day. He wrote, "How to plant corn. Oak tree bud equals mouse's ear." Then he looked up at Squanto and nodded.
"Dig holes and put two rotting fish in each hole," said Squanto.
"Rotting fish?" said Annie, making a face.
"Yes, rotting fish is good food for the soil," said Squanto. "On top of the fish, place four corn seeds. Then cover them with dirt."
Jack quickly wrote, "Two rotting fish, four corn seeds, cover with dirt."
"Got it," he said, looking up. "I give you these corn seeds to take home," said Squanto. He held up a small pouch.
"Thanks," said Annie, taking the pouch.
"Thanks a lot," said Jack.
"Well, goodbye." Jack was eager to get going before Squanto could ask them questions about the past.
"Wait, I have a question," said Annie. "Squanto, why did you say you remembered us?"
Squanto's dark eyes twinkled. "I did not say I remembered you," he said. "I only said, I remember."
"What did you remember?" asked Annie.
"I remembered what it was like to be from a different world," said Squanto. "Long ago, I lived with my people on this shore, but one day men came in ships. They took me to Europe as a slave. In that new land, I was a stranger. I felt different and afraid. I saw the same fear in your eyes today, so I tried to help you."
Annie smiled.
"We thank thee," she said.
"And now you must always be kind to those who feel different and afraid," said Squanto. "Remember what you felt today."
"Indeed," said Jack.
Before closing his notebook, he added one last thing. "Be kind to those who feel different and afraid."
Squanto bowed. "Good day, Jack and Annie," he said.
"Good day," they said.
Squanto turned and headed back to the village. The sun was setting. All of Plymouth was lit with a fiery light.
"It really was a good day," said Annie.
"Yeah, it was," said Jack.
Annie sighed.
"Ready to go home?" she asked.
"Indeed," Jack said. They started running through the woods. Their feet crunched through the red and yellow leaves. They scrambled up the rope ladder into the treehouse. From the distance came the sounds of the pilgrims singing a hymn and the Wampanoag beating their drums. Annie picked up the Pennsylvania book.
She pointed at a picture of the Frog Creek Woods.
I wish we could go home, she said.
Goodbye, Priscilla, Jack called.
Goodbye, Squanto, said Annie. Goodbye, everyone.
The wind started to blow. The wind blew harder. The treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster. Then everything was still, absolutely still. Chapter 10, Thankful. Jack opened his eyes. He sighed. They were wearing their own clothes again. His leather bag was a backpack. Sunlight slanted through the treehouse window. As always, no time at all had passed in Frog Creek.
Home, said Annie.
She held up the pouch of corn seeds.
Proof for Morgan. We found a special magic.
The magic of community, said Jack. Annie placed the pouch on the floor, next to the scrolls from Shakespeare and the twig from the gorillas of the cloud forest.
Let's go, she said.
Jack took the research book out of his pack. He left it under the window. Then they climbed down the rope ladder. As they started through the woods, a warm wind blew, rattling the leaves. Jack felt happy. He was looking forward to visiting their grandmother today and seeing their cousins and aunts and uncles.
You know, Pilgrim kids had a really hard life, said Annie.
Yeah, they did as much work as the grown-ups, said Jack. Maybe more.
Worst of all, lots of their friends and family members died, said Annie.
Yeah, said Jack. Both were silent for a moment.
If they could be so thankful, said Annie, we should be really thankful.
No kidding, said Jack. Really, really thankful. And they were.
We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Magic Treehouse No. 27, Thanksgiving on Thursday, by Mary Pope Osborne, read by the author. This program was produced and directed by Lewis Milgram. Executive producer, Karen DiMattia. Text copyright 2002 by Mary Pope Osborne. Production copyright 2003, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
High Tide in Hawaii. Chapter 1, A Ship. Jack and Annie were sitting on their porch reading books. Jack was reading about gorillas. Annie was reading about pilgrims. Suddenly, Annie closed her book. She looked up into the sunset.
Hey,
Annie said with a smile. Jack looked over at her.
It's back, she said, jumping up.
Oh, man, breathed Jack. He knew she was talking about the magic treehouse. Annie could always tell when it was back. Jack closed his book and stood up.
We're going to the woods, he called through the screen door. There's something we have to check on.
Be back before dark, their mom said.
We will, said Jack.
He picked up his backpack. Then he and Annie headed across the yard. When they got to the sidewalk, they started running. They ran up their street and into the Frog Creek Woods. In the last light of day, they hurried between the trees. Finally, they came to the tallest oak. They held their breath as they looked up. The magic treehouse was back.
Good going, said Jack. Thanks, said Annie.
She started up the ladder. Jack followed. It was nearly dark inside, but the sun-dried wood smelled like a summer day.
What kind of special magic will we look for this time? Said Jack.
They glanced around the treehouse. They saw the scrolls they'd brought back from Shakespeare's theater. They saw the twig from the mountain gorillas and the pouch of corn seeds from the first Thanksgiving.
There,
said Annie. She pointed to a book in the corner. A piece of paper was sticking out of it. Jack picked up the book. Then he pulled out the paper and read.
Dear Jack and Annie, good luck on your fourth journey to find a special magic. This secret rhyme will guide you. To find a special magic, build a special kind of ship that rides the waves both high and low
on every kind of trip.
Thank you, Morgan.
Jack looked at Annie.
A ship? He said.
She shrugged.
Yep, I guess we have to build a ship. Where do we go to build it?
She and Jack looked at the book's cover. It showed palm trees, a beach, and a beautiful ocean. The title was A Visit to Old Hawaii.
Oh, wow, said Annie. I love Hawaii.
How do you know you love it? Jack asked. We've never been to Hawaii.
Well, we're going now, said Annie.
She pointed at the cover.
We wish we could go there.
The wind started to blow. The treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster. Then everything was still, absolutely still. Chapter 2. Aloha. Jack opened his eyes. A gentle wind brushed against his skin. It smelled sweet and fresh. Annie looked out the window.
Nice, she said.
Jack looked out, too. The treehouse had landed on top of a tall palm tree. The palm tree was at the edge of a flowery meadow. On one side of the meadow, a cliff dropped down to the beach and ocean. On the other side of the meadow were the rooftops of a small village. Beyond the village were tall gray mountains. Misty clouds hid their peaks. Waterfalls gushed down their sides.
I told you I loved Hawaii, said Annie. Don't you?
I have to learn about it first, said Jack. He pushed his glasses into place and opened their research book. He read aloud.
Hawaii is a chain of islands in the Pacific Ocean. The largest island is Hawaii, which gives its name to the whole group. The islands were formed millions of years ago by volcanoes.
The volcanoes erupted under the ocean. Over time, their craters rose above the water.
Wow, said Annie. We're on the top of a volcano.
Yeah, said Jack. He read on.
The volcanic rock crumbled and turned to soil. Over millions of years, wind and birds dropped seeds on the islands. Plants and trees began to grow, and birds and insects made their homes.
Cool, said Jack. He took out his notebook and pencil and wrote,
Wind and birds brought seeds.
He read some more.
About 2,000 years ago, people first came to Hawaii. They came in canoes from other islands in the Pacific. They rowed for thousands of miles across the ocean, guided only by the wind and stars.
Hey, listen, said Annie. Jack put down the book and listened. Sounds of music and laughter floated on the breeze.
There must be a party in that village, said Annie. Let's go.
What about building that ship? Asked Jack.
We'll figure that out later, said Annie. Let's meet some people at the party. Maybe they can help us.
She started down the ladder. Jack heard a whoop of laughter in the distance. The party does sound fun, he thought. He packed up his things and followed Annie down to the ground. The sun was low in the sky. They walked through the meadow toward the village. Everything was bathed in a golden red glow.
Oh, man, breathed Jack.
There was beauty everywhere. Purple flowers shaped like bells, white flowers that looked like stars, tall feathery ferns, green spiky plants, big orange and black butterflies, and tiny yellow birds. When they got close to the village, they saw an open area filled with people. Jack and Annie slipped behind a palm tree. They peeked out at the party. There were about 50 people, including grown-ups, teenagers, and little kids. They were all barefoot and wore wreaths of flowers around their necks. A woman was chanting. Her words rose and fell like waves. She chanted about a volcano goddess named Pele. While she chanted, other people played music. Some blew on pipes that looked like flutes. Others shook gourds that sounded like baby rattles. Some hit sticks together to make clicking sounds. Most of the villagers were dancing to the music. They stepped from side to side. They swayed their hips and waved their hands.
They're doing the hula, whispered Annie.
She smiled and waved her hands, too.
Don't get carried away, whispered Jack.
He took out their book and found a picture of Hawaiians dancing. He read,
The early Hawaiians had no written language. They told stories with hula dancing. The hula is a blend of dancing and chanting poetry.
Jack pulled out his notebook. He started a list about early Hawaii.
No written language. Stories with Hula. Suddenly, Jack heard loud laughter and clapping. He looked up. Annie was gone. Jack peeked out from behind the tree. Annie was doing the hula with the dancers. But no one seemed surprised. Everyone just smiled at her as they kept dancing. A girl caught sight of Jack. She looked about Annie's age. She had long, shiny black hair and a big, friendly smile. "Come do the hula," she called to him.
"No way," Jack breathed.
He slipped behind the tree again, but the girl danced over to him and took his hand.
"Join us," she said.
"No thanks," said Jack.
The girl didn't let go. She pulled Jack into the open. The music got louder. The dancers and musicians nodded and smiled at Jack. Jack stood still. He didn't know how to do any kind of dance, let alone the hula. He stared at the ground, clutching his backpack and notebook until the music and dancing ended. The Hawaiians gathered around Jack and Annie. They all had friendly, open faces.
"Who are you?" the young girl asked.
"I'm Annie," said Annie. "This is my brother, Jack."
"I'm Kama," the girl said. "This is my brother, Boka."
She pointed to a boy in the crowd who looked about Jack's age. The boy stepped forward. He grinned a big grin just like his sister's. He pulled off his wreath of red, fluffy flowers. He put it around Annie's neck.
"Alei to welcome you," Boka said.
Kama then pulled off her lei and put it around Jack's neck.
"Aloha, Jack and Annie," everyone said.
Chapter 3. Sleepover.
"Aloha," said Jack and Annie.
"Where did you come from?"
a pretty woman asked.
"Frog,"
Annie started, but Jack broke in. "From over the mountains," he said quickly. He pointed at the mountains looming in the distance.
"We are glad you have come to visit us," the woman said.
Everyone smiled and nodded.
"They're all amazingly nice," Jack thought.
The music started again. As people began to dance, Kama took Annie's hand.
"Sit and talk with us," she said.
She and Boka led Jack and Annie to the edge of the clearing. They sat cross-legged in the grass. Kama picked up a wooden bowl. She held it out.
"Please eat," she said.
"What is it?" asked Annie.
"It is poi," said Kama.
She scooped some poi out of the bowl and licked it off of her fingers.
"You eat it with your hands? Cool," said Annie.
She stuck her fingers in the bowl and licked off the poi.
"Mmm, good."
Jack stuck his finger in the bowl, too. The gooey mixture felt like peanut butter, but when he licked it off his finger, it had a weird taste, both bitter and sweet.
"Mmm,"
he said, but he made a face.
"He doesn't like it,"
Kama said to Boka.
"No, no," said Jack. "It's..."
He tried to think of something polite.
"It's very interesting."
Kama and Boka giggled. Then they stuck their fingers in the bowl and ate some poi.
"Interesting," they exclaimed.
They cracked up laughing. Jack and Annie laughed with them.
"Now, tell us about your home over the mountains," said Kama. "This place you call Frog."
Kama's friendly smile made Jack want to tell her the truth.
"It's actually called Frog Creek," he said. "It's very far away, much farther than just over the mountains. We traveled here in a magic tree house."
Kama's and Boka's eyes got huge. They smiled even bigger smiles than before.
"That sounds fun," said Kama. "You are so lucky," said Boka.
Jack and Annie laughed.
"Yeah, we are," said Jack.
He felt great telling their new friends about the treehouse. He and Annie had never talked about it with their friends back home.
"Can you stay here tonight?" asked Kama.
Jack shrugged.
"Sure, we can stay at least one night," he said.
Kama hurried over to the pretty woman. They spoke together for a moment. Then Kama returned to Jack and Annie.
"Our mother invites you to sleep at our house," she said.
"Great," said Annie. "Thanks."
Jack and Annie stood up. In the gray twilight, they followed Kama and Boka through the village. They wove between small huts with steep roofs until Kama stopped in front of one.
"This is our house," she said.
The hut had no door, just a wide entrance that opened into one large room. Kama and Boka led Jack and Annie inside.
In the dim light, Jack could barely see the dried grass walls and the woven grass mats on the dirt floor.
"Where do we sleep?" he asked.
"Here," said Boka. He and Kama lay down on the mats. Annie pulled off her lei and shoes, then she lay down too.
"Oh," said Jack. "Okay."
He took off his shoes and wreath of flowers. He used his backpack as a pillow when he lay down. The warm wind rustled the palm leaves outside. Music drifted in from the party.
"The ocean is calling," said Kama.
Jack could barely hear the waves in the distance.
"Tomorrow we will take you wave riding," said Boka.
"You mean surfing?"
said Annie.
"Yes," said Kama.
"Cool," said Jack. But he wasn't sure he meant it. Surfing actually seemed pretty scary.
Kama seemed to hear his thoughts.
"Don't worry," she said. "We'll have fun."
"No kidding," said Annie.
Soon Jack heard steady breathing. The other kids had fallen asleep.
"Oh, darn, we forgot to ask them about building a ship," he thought. "I guess we'll have to do that tomorrow."
Jack closed his eyes and yawned. Soon he, too, was fast asleep. Chapter 4. Garden Paradise. Jack heard pounding noises. He imagined Boka and Kama were building a ship. He opened his eyes. Only he and Annie were still in the hut. A piece of cloth covered the doorway. Jack sat up and shook Annie.
"Wake up," he said. She opened her eyes. "I think they're building a ship outside," said Jack. "Come on, let's go."
Annie jumped up.
"Don't forget your lei," she said.
They put on their flower wreaths. Jack lifted the cloth over the doorway, and they stepped out into the warm sunlight. Boka, Kama, and their parents smiled at Jack and Annie. They were all working, but no one was building a ship. Boka was pounding a wide strip of bark with a wooden club. Kama was using a stone to pound something that looked like a fat sweet potato. Their parents were weaving grass mats.
"What are you making?" Jack asked. "I'm making tapa," said Boka. "First I beat the bark of the mulberry tree into thin sheets. Then my father pastes the sheets together to make cloth for us."
"This is the root of a taro plant," said Kama.
She pointed at the squashed white vegetable.
"When you add fruit to it, you get poi."
"Great," said Jack. "By the way, do you ever build ships?"
"Ships?" asked Boka.
"What for?"
Jack shrugged.
"To sail away," he said.
"Why would we do that?" asked Kama.
"Good question," said Jack, smiling.
"Can I help?" Annie asked Kama.
"Sure," said Kama. While she showed Annie how to pound the taro root, Jack slipped back into the hut. He pulled out his notebook and quickly added to his Hawaii list. Tapa, bark pounded into cloth. Taro root, pounded for poi. Ship, ? Jack heard Kama ask her parents if they could play now.
"We've finished our chores," said Kama. "May we take Jack and Annie to the ocean?"
"For wave riding," said Boka. Jack held his breath. He half hoped their parents would say no.
"Yes, go have a good time with your friends," said their father.
"Come on, Jack,"
Annie called. Jack put his notebook away. He pulled on his pack and joined the others outside.
"We'll be back in a little while," said Kama.
"Don't forget to eat breakfast," said her mother.
"We won't," said Kama.
"Where will we get breakfast?" wondered Jack. He and Annie followed Kama and Boka. They passed villagers hard at work. Some carried firewood or water. Others were cutting grass or stripping bark from trees. Everyone smiled and waved.
"Hungry?" Kama asked Jack and Annie.
"Sure," they said.
Kama and Boka went into the grove of palms near the huts. They climbed up two slanting tree trunks, using their hands and feet to push themselves up. At the top, they shook the palm leaves.
"Watch out!"
Kama shouted. Jack and Annie jumped back as big round coconuts fell to the ground. Kama and Boka slid down the trees. They each picked up a coconut. Then they found rocks and began to whack the hard shells. They whacked and whacked until their coconuts cracked into halves. Kama shared hers with Annie. Boka shared his with Jack. Jack drank the fresh, sweet milk inside the coconut.
"Mmm," he said.
"Interesting," asked Boca.
"No, mmm means good," said Jack.
Everyone laughed. Then Kama picked bananas off a banana tree and gave them to Jack and Annie. Jack peeled his and took a bite. It was the best banana he'd ever eaten. When breakfast was over, they all headed into the flowery meadow. The sky was the bluest blue Jack had ever seen. The grass was the greenest green. The flowers and birds sparkled like jewels. Hawaii is like a garden paradise, Jack thought. He wanted to look up Hawaiian birds and flowers in the research book. As the others kept walking, he stopped and pulled out the book.
"Jack, come look!" Annie shouted.
She was standing at the edge of a cliff with Boca and Kama. Jack put away the book and hurried to join the others. He looked down at a beach 50 feet below. There were no people. Only seashells and seaweed lay on the glistening white sand. Big, foamy waves crashed against the shore.
"Wow," said Annie.
"Uh-oh," thought Jack.
Chapter 5. Go. Boca looked at Jack and grinned.
"Ready?" he asked.
"I'm ready," said Annie. "Where do we get our surfboards?"
"Down there," said Kama.
She pointed to a rocky path that led to the beach.
"Let's go," said Annie.
Annie, Boca, and Kama started down the path. Jack followed, moving slowly and carefully. When he stepped onto the beach, Jack slipped off his shoes. He dug his toes into the dry, warm sand. It felt as soft as silk.
"Actually, I wouldn't mind just taking a walk on the beach," he said to the others. But no one seemed to hear. They had all walked over to a row of wooden surfboards propped against the rocks.
Boca picked out a long board and lugged it over to Jack.
"For you," he said.
Jack took the board and looked up at it. It was as tall as his dad.
"Isn't this a little big for me?" he asked.
Boca shook his head. He chose a board for Annie. Then he and Kama grabbed a couple for themselves. Jack took a deep breath.
"I'd like to read a little about surfing first," he said.
He put his board down and pulled out the research book.
"What is that?" asked Kama.
"It's a book," said Jack. "It tells you about things."
"How does it talk?" said Kama.
"It doesn't talk," said Annie. "You read it."
Kama looked confused.
"Jack, forget the book now," Annie said. "Let's just do what Boca and Kama tell us."
She headed for the ocean, lugging her board. Jack sighed and put the book away. He left his pack in the sand, picked up his board, and followed the others. They all stopped at the edge of the water.
"First, we need to get past the breaking waves," said Kama. "Then we'll show you what to do next."
Together, they waded into the cool, shallow water.
"The waves don't seem all that big," Jack thought hopefully.
But as he waded deeper into the ocean, the breaking waves began to look bigger and bigger. When the first wave hit him, Jack leaned against it, lifting his board. He nearly fell over. Kama, Boca, and Annie moved farther out into the ocean. Jack watched as a wave loomed over them. They all threw their boards over the wave and dove into it. Jack struggled forward. The next time a big wave came toward him, he threw his board over it. Holding his glasses tightly, he ducked under. When Jack stood up again, he wiped the water from his eyes and glasses. His surfboard was close by. He grabbed it before another wave came. Jack kept fighting his way forward. By the time he got past all the breakers, the water was up to his chest.
"We'll paddle out to catch a big wave," said Boca.
Jack frowned.
"But don't worry, Jack," said Kama. "It will be fun."
Boca and Kama pulled themselves onto their boards. They lay on their bellies and began paddling with their hands out to sea. Jack and Annie lay down on their boards, too. Paddling over the gentle waves, Jack relaxed. Now this was something he could do all day.
"When I say go, paddle fast back toward the shore," said Kama.
"When do we stand up?" said Annie.
"When you start toward the shore," said Boca. "Stand up with 1 foot forward. Stretch out your arms to keep your balance."
"But don't try to stand up the very first time," said Kama. "Just ride your board on your belly."
"I see one coming now," said Boca.
"Wait, wait," said Jack. Everything was happening too fast. He had questions.
Go! Kama shouted. Jack saw a big wave rolling toward them. Before he knew it, Boca, Kama, and Annie were paddling quickly toward the shore. Jack paddled like crazy to keep up. Suddenly, the wave lifted him and swept him forward. Jack zoomed toward the shore with amazing speed. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Boca and Kama and Annie all standing up. Jack wanted to be like them. In a flash, he went up on his knees. He put his left foot forward and stood up. For 1 second, he felt like a soaring bird. Then he lost his balance. Jack fell into the water, grabbing his glasses just in time. The wave crashed down on top of him. Water filled his mouth and went up his nose. His board and his lei were swept away. Jack twisted and turned in the churning water. When his head bobbed up above the water, he choked and coughed. Another big wave crashed down on him, and he went under again. When he came up, he plunged forward, desperately trying to get to shore. Again and again, Jack was thrown down and slammed by breaking waves. But each time he got up and hurled himself closer to shore. Finally, Jack dragged himself out of the ocean. Feeling bruised and battered, he fell onto the sand. Chapter 6. Shake Up.
Jack! Cried Annie. She ran to him. Are you okay?
Jack just nodded. He put on his wet glasses. He felt shaky and mad at himself. I never should have tried to stand, he thought. Kama picked up Jack's surfboard from the shallow water and brought it over to him.
I told you not to stand, she said, laughing. You fell hard.
It's not funny, thought Jack. I nearly drowned. The best thing to do is to go right back out, said Boca.
You go, said Jack. His eyes and nose burned from the salt water. I'll stay here.
He walked over to his pack, picked it up, and took out the research book.
Come on, Jack, said Annie. Try it again. Stay on your belly this time.
No, this time I'm going to read about surfing first, he said.
Oh, you should just try it again, said Annie. Not read about it.
She ran to him and pulled the book out of his hands. Jack jerked it away from her. He slipped and fell onto the sand. Kama and Boca laughed again.
Why are you laughing? Jack snapped. You don't even know how to read.
Boca and Kama looked hurt.
Jack, said Annie. That was mean. Say you're sorry.
Jack opened his book and pretended to read it. He did feel sorry, but he was too upset to say so.
Fine, stay here, said Annie. She went back to Boca and Kama. Let's go.
As Jack sat alone on the beach, he looked up from his book. He watched the other kids paddling through the water.
I don't care, he muttered. I'm never going back out in those waves. Morgan didn't send us here to surf anyway, he thought. She told us to build a ship. But how the heck are we supposed to do that?
Jack heaved an angry sigh. Now he was cross with Morgan. He turned to the back of the book and searched the index for ship. Suddenly, Jack heard a rumbling from under the sand. The ground started to shake. It shook so hard the book flew out of Jack's hands. Jack bounced up and down on the beach. Shells were jumping up and down, too. Rocks tumbled down from the cliff.
It's an earthquake, thought Jack.
The rumbling stopped. The shaking stopped. Jack looked around. Everything was normal again, except some rocks rolled around at the bottom of the cliff. Jack looked out to sea. Kama, Boca, and Annie were past the breakers. They were sitting on their surfboards, laughing and talking. Everything seemed okay. But Jack felt sure that something was wrong. He grabbed the Hawaii book from the sand. He looked up earthquake. He read, earthquakes in Hawaii have been known to cause tsunamis, which used to be called tidal waves. An earthquake can cause water out at sea to be set in motion. The water grows higher and higher as it moves toward land. Just before the tsunami strikes, water may pull away from the shore. Then it returns in a gigantic wave that crashes over the land and washes everything away.
Oh, man, thought Jack. A tsunami might be coming.
Chapter 7. Ride for Your Lives. Jack had to find out more about tsunamis quickly. He read as fast as he could. A tsunami can strike a few hours or a few minutes after an earthquake. It depends on the strength of the earthquake and where it took place. After earthquakes, it is safest for islanders to seek higher ground.
We have to get to higher ground now, thought Jack, dropping the book. He ran down to the edge of the ocean. Boca, Kama, and Annie were still paddling out beyond the waves. Jack forgot all about their fight.
Hey, you guys! He yelled.
They didn't hear him. Jack went into the shallow water.
Hey, you guys! He yelled. Come back!
They still didn't hear him. Jack ran to his surfboard, grabbed it, and ran into the ocean. He fought the breaking waves. Once he was past them, he threw himself on his board and paddled wildly. The wave swells grew as he paddled. He could hardly see Annie, Boca, or Kama over them. Jack paddled faster and faster, trying to reach them.
Hey! He yelled. Hey!
Boca looked back at him. He gave Jack a friendly wave, then turned away again.
I have to get them to come to me, Jack thought frantically.
Help! Help! He yelled at the top of his lungs. The three kids jerked around. They paddled quickly toward Jack with worried faces.
What's wrong? Annie cried when they got closer. Are you in trouble?
We all are, said Jack. A tsunami might be coming. There was an earthquake when I was on the beach.
We'd better ride in fast, said Boca.
Stay on your bellies, said Kama. It's safer.
Here comes a wave, cried Boca.
They all started paddling. The swell of the wave picked them up. They were all swept forward. Jack gripped the sides of his board as he zoomed along with the others. Suddenly, he dropped down as the wave curled under. It felt like a roller coaster, but he stayed on his board as the wave carried him to shore. Jack rolled off into the shallow water. He snatched up his board and ran onto the sand. Boca and Kama were waiting.
Good riding, Jack, said Boca.
Where's Annie? Asked Jack. Boca pointed. Annie was in the shallow water pulling her board in. As they watched, something very weird began to happen to the ocean. The water around Annie started to pull away.
Chapter 8. The Big Wave.
Run, Annie! Jack screamed. The water drew away from the beach, and a loud hissing sound came from the sea.
Suddenly, fish flopped on the bare sand. Annie threw down her board and ran. She grabbed Jack's hand as she ran by him. Jack grabbed Boca's hand, and Boca grabbed Kama's hand. They all ran together, pulling each other along as they raced to the cliff. Boca and Kama ran up the cliff path. Jack and Annie grabbed their shoes and Jack's pack. Then they scrambled up the path, too. At the top of the cliff, everyone looked back. Jack couldn't believe his eyes. A wave was rising up like a dark mountain of water. It came surging toward the shore, growing even taller.
Wow,
whispered Annie.
Get back, shouted Boca.
The four of them bolted back from the edge of the rocky slope. The mountain of water crashed against the cliff. Water sprayed over the top of the rocks and rained down on them. When the water rolled back over the cliff, they all hurried back to the edge to see what had happened. The rocky cliff path was gone. The gigantic wave was moving back out to sea, taking rocks, sand, seaweed, seashells, and the surfboards with it.
Scary, breathed Annie.
Yeah, said Jack. We just made it.
Boca! Kama!
Voices yelled. They turned around. Jack saw Boca and Kama's parents racing across the meadow toward them. Other villagers followed. The two Hawaiian kids ran into their parents' arms. Soon Jack and Annie were surrounded by villagers. Everyone was laughing and crying and hugging each other. Jack hugged Annie. He hugged Kama and Boca and their parents and lots of other people he didn't even know.
Chapter 9. Telling the Story. Finally, the hugging and crying and laughing died down. The villagers started walking back to their huts. Jack and Annie followed Boca, Kama, and their parents.
We felt the ground shaking, said Boca and Kama's father. We knew a big wave might follow.
Jack saved us, said Boca. He read in a book and found out about the big waves.
What's a book? Asked his mother.
Show them, Annie said to Jack.
Jack reached into his pack and took out their research book.
"It tells about the big waves in here," he said. "Books give lots of information."
"Ah," said Boca and Kama's mother. "A book is a good thing."
"Books tell stories, too," said Annie.
"That is impossible," said Kama. "The book cannot move its feet or wave its hands. It cannot sing or chant."
"That's true," said Jack, smiling. "Now we should do the hula," Boca said to Annie, Kama, and Jack, "and tell our story."
"I'll watch," said Jack, stepping away.
Boca and Kama's father called for music. The villagers gathered around. A man started to play a pipe. A teenage boy knocked two sticks together. Some women began shaking rattles. Boca, Kama, and Annie waved their hands in time to the music. They stepped from side to side. They swayed their hips. Kama chanted about going out into the water. She, Boca, and Annie waved their hands to show how they paddled out to sea. Kama chanted about how Jack had warned them. She and the others waved their hands to show how they rowed their surfboards to shore. Then Jack surprised himself. He waved his hands to show how he rowed his surfboard like a bird soaring through the air. The next thing he knew, he was stepping from side to side. He was swaying his hips. He was doing the hula. Kama chanted about how the water had pulled away from the shore and how they had climbed to safety and how the giant wave had crashed against the cliff. As Kama chanted the story, all the villagers joined in the dance. The tall grasses swayed, the palm trees swayed, and all the hula dancers swayed too. When the story ended, everyone clapped.
"Thanks for helping us," Boca said to Jack and Annie.
"We're a good team," said Annie.
"We are best friends," said Kama.
"Yeah," said Jack. "I'm sorry I said mean things."
"We're sorry we laughed at you," said Boca.
"I'm sorry I grabbed the book," said Annie.
"Our mother says friendship is like riding the waves," said Kama. "Sometimes you ride low, gentle waves. Sometimes you ride high, rough ones."
Annie gasped. She looked at Jack. She repeated Morgan's rhyme.
"To find a special magic, build a special kind of ship that rides the waves both high and low on every kind of trip."
"Friendship, that's the ship," said Jack.
"And we built it," said Annie.
She and Jack burst out laughing. Boca and Kama looked a little confused, but they laughed too.
"We have to go back to our own home now," Annie said to Boca and Kama.
"It's time to say goodbye," said Jack.
"We never say goodbye," said Kama. "We say aloha when we greet our friends, and we say aloha when we leave them."
"Friends are always together," said Boca, "even when they are far apart."
"Have a good journey in your magic treehouse," said Kama.
"Thanks," said Jack and Annie.
They waved to all the villagers.
"Aloha!
Aloha!" everyone called back. Then Annie and Jack started through the meadow. Tiny yellow birds and orange and black butterflies flitted about them. At the edge of the meadow, they came to the grove of palm trees. They climbed up the rope ladder into the treehouse. Out the window, Jack saw the tall mountains, the small village, the flowery meadow, and the ocean. The water was peaceful again.
"I still have my lei," said Annie.
She took it off. Though the red flowers were wet, they were still a little fluffy.
"It's proof that we found the special magic," said Jack, "the magic of friendship."
Annie put the lei on the floor next to the play scrolls, the twig, and the corn seeds. Then she picked up the Pennsylvania book.
"Ready?"
she asked.
Jack sighed. "I love Hawaii," he said.
"Finally, you admit it," said Annie.
She pointed at a picture of the Frog Creek woods.
"I wish we could go home now."
The wind started to blow. The treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster. Then everything was still, absolutely still.